Good morning, church. My name is Brian Harms, and I have been asked to read the scripture today. So if you would stand, if you are able, while we listen to the word of God. I am reading from 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 14. From Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by God's will to promote the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm grateful to God, whom I serve with a good conscience, as my ancestors did. I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I can be filled with happiness. I'm reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I'm sure that this faith is also inside of you. Because of this, I'm reminding you to revive God's gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share the suffering for the good news depending on God's power. God is the one who saved and called us with a holy calling. This wasn't based on what we have done, but it was based on his own purpose and grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now his grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death and brought life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. I was appointed a messenger, apostle, and teacher of this good news. This is also why I'm suffering the way I do, but I'm not ashamed. I know the one in whom I place my trust. I'm convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching you. Hold on to the pattern of sound that teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Amen. You may be seated, friends. Thank you, Brian. Young mother and her 5-year-old son were driving home after church on Sunday morning, and as they were driving in the car, her little 5-year-old son started fidgeting with a little tin box of mints that was empty, thank goodness, otherwise the mints would be everywhere. But as they're driving on the way home, little boy asks his mom, or tells his mom, he says, "Sunday school teacher said that God's spirit is everywhere." His mom said, "That's right, son." Driving on a little bit, little boy then goes, "Well, is God's spirit in the oven when it's really hot?" And his mom says, "I suppose so." They drive on a little bit more. Son says, "Is God in the cabinet where the dishes and cups are?" Mom says, "Certainly." They go a little bit farther, and son goes, "Well, is God's spirit in the fridge when the door's closed and the lights go off?" Mom says, "Yes, I think so." Mom's getting a little tired of these questions. As they're driving a little along, the kid's playing with the box, and mom doesn't hear from the little one for a little while. And then he goes, "Mom, would God's spirit be in this little box?" And the mom thought she was going to get through without hearing any more questions. She's a little frustrated, so she snaps back, "Yes, yes, God's spirit is in that little box." At that, the little boy slammed the lid down and said, "Gotcha." Thinking that mom's got some more splaining to do about God's spirit. But so do we all. It's hard enough to explain who the Holy Spirit is to adults, let alone to a child. If you were to ask a person on the street who God is or who Jesus Christ is, whether they are believers or not, you're going to get an answer. You'll probably get a whole wide variety of answers depending on where people are coming from. But everybody's got some sort of idea about who God is and about who Jesus is. But if you ask the person on the street, who is the Holy Spirit? I think you'll get a lot more blank stares or I don't knows. You know, our Bible mentions the Holy Spirit over 500 times. And I think that means it's important for us to be able to at least try to tackle that question of who is the Holy Spirit, don't you? So we're going to talk a little bit about that Holy Spirit today. Actually, not just today, but next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about what does the Holy Spirit do? And we may talk a little bit about that today, but that's next week's message. Today, we're going with the more foundational question, that question that is on your screen, who is the Holy Spirit? But we also are going to be wrestling with another question associated with that, and that is, how do you experience the Holy Spirit? So I'm going to share a little bit about what I know about the Holy Spirit. If this sounds familiar to you who have been worshiping in this church for the last several years, well, that's because I preach about the Holy Spirit at least twice a year, and so I don't see any reason why I should stop. Should you? So it's going to sound the same, but I just want to say, Holy Spirit, we get in the very first two verses of Scripture. I'm going to just share a little bit from my handy Bible app, from Genesis, the New International Version, the very first two verses. You remember how it starts? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There's one word that means Spirit of God there, and that is the word ruach, a Hebrew word. And ruach is used multiple times throughout the Old Testament to refer to the breath of God, to refer to the Spirit of God, to refer to the wind of God. Just a little while later, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it is that same ruach that is breathed into a God-formed lump of clay. Breathed into that lump of clay that gives it life. Ruach. You could say that the Spirit of God is a creative, life-giving force, couldn't you? And that same force in the Old Testament also empowers leaders of God's people and their various adventures in the Old Testament. It was that same Spirit that empowered leaders to help Moses out when he was having to deal with leading the people through the wilderness. It's that same Spirit that empowered and led the prophets, every single one of them, God's Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, we don't hear about ruach because that's a Hebrew word. No, the word becomes pneuma. And pneuma is again God's creative, life-giving force. I like what Ted Peters says. He's a favorite theologian of mine, where he says that pneuma is the very breath or vitality of life that energizes the process of resurrection that ties us to the saving work of Jesus and binds us together as the body of Christ, the church. Isn't that amazing? And we see that in the New Testament in the various places. The Old Testament is everywhere. There's even a book called the Acts. They call it the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tries to teach us in the Gospels as he's teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus explains it in John's Gospel, as he's gathered his disciples around for their Last Supper, the Holy Spirit is the advocate. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is their guide. And he's trying to explain this to them in a really kind of difficult conversation. Because Jesus is saying, hey, I'm getting ready to leave you. And the disciples are upset, but he says, but know this, God the Father is giving you this gift of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. This Holy Spirit that will be with you, even though the world won't know it, you will, because this Holy Spirit abides with you and this Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is God's presence, peace, and power in us. Now I realize when I'm naming out all these attributes, creative life-giving force, wind, spirit, breath, you know, the vital breath of life that energizes the resurrection. And in a lot of ways, it seems like I'm answering the question of what the Holy Spirit is. But it really is who, and I'll tell you why. And it all comes down to this foundational fact that is true. We have a God who is love. We have a God who creates in love. We have a God who has created each of us in love, in God's image, to be in relationship with God. And it's in that relationship that we can truly begin to answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? For the Holy Spirit, friends, is God's presence with us. That's what John Wesley thought. John Wesley thought, the founder of our Methodist faith tribe, John Wesley really believed that the Holy Spirit was God's restored presence with us. Doesn't that sound good? God's presence with us. God's peace as the divine physician that heals our sin-addicted lives. God's power that guides us and empowers us to be holy. And when I say holy, I don't mean like, What I'm talking about here is not just outward pious behavior. When I talk about holy, it simply means that the Holy Spirit leads us to love God more and love and serve neighbor more. Amen? It is God's presence in us, that divine presence that guides us. And friends, we need that Holy Spirit desperately in these days, don't you think? The Holy Spirit is here. Each of you has the Holy Spirit within you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture teaches us. Have you experienced the Holy Spirit in your life? Can you claim the Holy Spirit in your life? I ask that question because I'm thinking if I ask that question honestly, you're probably going, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it's vitally important, friends, that each and every day we find out in our hearts where that Holy Spirit has been present and is present with us. So, to give you an example of the Holy Spirit's work, this guy would not be here had it not been for God's Holy Spirit in me. Bold claim? Then you don't know me very well. Before I was a pastor, when I was a systems analyst, I was known as the Mambler. A guy who would speak much, but would speak under my breath because I didn't want everybody to hear what I was saying. But I was somebody that people would have to say, what? What did you say, Kevin? Not a public speaker. But because of God's Holy Spirit at work in my heart, but not just my heart, but in the hearts and lives of others whose lives have touched me, then that caused transformation. That's Holy Spirit. You know, someone whose love empowers me and someone who I know has experienced the Holy Spirit is my wife, Tammy. And so I want to invite you now to listen to And she talks about her struggles with understanding the Holy Spirit, but ultimately how she has experienced the Holy Spirit in her life.
The Holy Spirit, to me, is such a large concept. I think as a kid, I used to see the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. I would hear about that, and it was pretty freaky. It just was so hard to grasp that concept. It was just beyond my reach. And so I pretty much just tucked the Holy Spirit in my back pocket and didn't think about it for a very long time. And I think maybe the first time that I really had an encounter with the Holy Spirit was when Kevin and I were first married, and we had all our plans set to go away to college together. We were starting our second year in college, and we had just gotten married. And then we found out that we were pregnant, and then we found out we were pregnant with twins. And I think that being so out of control and so unreal, and at that time when we were so worried and so panicked, and our family just rallied behind us as our family always does, and you know, we felt soothed by their presence, but there was a point where we just didn't really know how things were going to work, and the Holy Spirit just came into our lives in such a strong manner. It's like once we stripped away all of our plans and we were left with now what? It was like at that point, that was when God really showed us how much He loves us. And that Holy Spirit, that counselor, that support, the advocate was just so present in our lives, and I didn't feel alone anymore. And it was really powerful. It was really overwhelming and scary, and huge blessing that we had our boys, and God is good. Then just going through with my Christian walk, I really don't think that I got to that point again until the boys were, they were already like in junior high, I guess. And Kevin and I went to a Christian retreat, and I felt very comfortable with my faith, but I also did a lot of it on my own. I felt very empowered to do certain things, and I relied on my own skills and talents. And it wasn't until I got into this weekend that I was just hit over and over again that it's not my power, it's not my desire that matters so much as what God has plans for us, and that He gives us free will to do whatever we want to do. But when we can take a step back from that and let Him be in the driver's seat as the Holy Spirit living in us and leading us, that's when things start to work in the kingdom of God. And God puts us together with other people, puts us in situations that we can do things that we never thought we could do before. And that let go and let God, that saying just took on a whole new meaning to me. And it's still now as a more mature sort of Christian, I still struggle with it every day. You know, it's like stepping out of that driver's seat and letting God take over and listening to those promptings of the Holy Spirit. And I still wrestle with who is the Holy Spirit. I don't think that as a human we're ever able to understand all that the Holy Spirit can do. I'm just glad that we have the Holy Spirit with us to help us move forward and to move closer to God. And it's a concept that I think we all will struggle with until we're with God.
Thank you, Tammy Shelton. I think we all probably have a story just like that. It was really important. You guys can turn up the lights, by the way. I can see clearly. Okay. It was really important for Paul to share with his protege the importance of the Holy Spirit. And yes, I gave Brian the challenge of reading a full 14 verses of Scripture. He did a great job. Can I hear an amen? There you go. But I hope that what you heard there were also the encouragement of Paul. He says, hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you've heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing. I love that. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. It's that good thing, that good sound teaching, that Holy Spirit that empowers Timothy. It's the same Spirit that empowers Paul. And he gives a little bit more detail into Timothy's background here. He goes, I'm reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. You know your faith comes from somewhere. Whether it's from your parents, whether it's your grandparents, whether it's friends, your faith comes from somewhere. Jesus is shared with you from someone else. I'm sure that this faith is also inside you. Because of this, I am reminding you to revive God's gift that is in you and through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-control. Let me share this with you again. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. That one verse should be part of our mission statement. To remind us the Spirit of God that is within us. I want to invite us all to do something beginning today and the next day and the next week, just for the rest of our lives. I want us to do something really simple, but you need to keep the habit. And that is what I want to invite us all to do is to, at the end of each day, before you turn out the lights, before you get into bed, before you start snoring, what I would like for you to do, what I'm going to do, is take a moment and think about the day that you lived. Just take an inventory of the day that you lived and look back and ask, where have I seen God's Holy Spirit? Talk to God about it. Where have I seen your Holy Spirit in everything that I've done? Was I expecting to see the Holy Spirit at work in my life? Or is my life just same old, same old? I think if each and every day we take that moment, then we stop taking our relationship with God for granted, which is really easy to do. And we start to practice the presence. That sounds like a good name for this discipline. Practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. Friends, that's what I want to encourage you to do. As Tammy was talking about it in her testimony, I was mindful of that there are strong experiences with the Holy Spirit that come and go, right? It's not like every day, it's like, woo, woo. And I think it's because we're kind of in the mesh of our daily lives. But I really think this spiritual practice can help us open up the eyes of our heart to where the Holy Spirit is at work. And it may not be a big thing that we notice, but at least we could say, ah, this is where I see the presence of God. It's like this little girl that's out flying her kite. And it's a really windy day. And as she's flying the kite, it really takes off. And she lets out more string and more string and more string. And pretty soon, you can't see the kite. It's so far up in the sky. But she's hanging on to it. Someone comes by the little girl and says, "Hey, how do you know your kite is still up there? It might have broken off." And she said, "I can still feel it." Can't see the Holy Spirit all the time, but you can always feel it. Practice the presence, and I think you'll be amazed at the Spirit's presence in your life. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is Emmanuel, God with you, forever and ever. Amen.